Parshas Behar Bechukosai, Tavshinayin Gimel. Being that we're approaching the holiday of Shavuos, maybe we'll speak about that topic. There's really a lot that needs to be said to prepare properly. We know that Shavuos is the completion of something that begins from Pesach, the holiday of Pesach. Parshas Behar Bechukosai, Tavshinayin Gimel. Being that we're approaching the holiday of Shavuos, maybe we'll speak about that topic. There's really a lot that needs to be said to prepare properly. We know that Shavuos is the completion of something that begins from Pesach, the holiday of Pesach. The Torah tells us that for a period of hundreds of years, Bnei Yisrael were in Egypt, and we went down. The expression is Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, is referred to as Govoya Mikola Arotzois, the highest of all the lands, and Mitzrayim, Egypt, is referred to as the lowest, the bottom, hitting rock bottom. And on a spiritual level, we went down to the 49th level of Tumah. Coming out of Egypt, the Torah tells us that this country, this place of Tumah, which was so sealed that there was almost no one that escaped from there, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to lead 600,000 people out of there in broad daylight. Now the climax, we know that the Geula, the redemption from Mitzrayim, began with the plagues. That the Torah says that Hashem saw the tears and the screams of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem said enough. That even though it wasn't actually, Hashem had said that we would have to be in Egypt for 400 years, Hashem decided to cut it down, to shrink it to 210 years, Hashem deducted 190 years and took us out, led us out of Mitzrayim. And the way it was done was through a procedure of 10 plagues. Dam, blood, frogs, a whole variety. Hashem showed Paroi all of his secret weapons, biological, chemical, nuclear, everything. And the grand finale was Makas Bechoiros. Hashem said, till now, Paroi hasn't been impressed yet. But watch this. This time we're going to really ruffle his feathers. This is going to be impressive enough that Paro is going to be begging for them to leave. And the Torah tells us, Vayhi b'chatzi halayla. It was at midnight, V'Hashem hiko kol b'chor beretz Mitzrayim. Hashem struck at all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, Mibachor Paroi Hayeshev al Kisai, from top to bottom, from Paroi's family, going all the way down to the simplest servant, everyone got it, and it was that, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. We know that every word in the Torah has tremendous meaning. The fact that the pasuk begins Vayhi b'chatzi halayla, this took place at midnight, and we know that in the Haggadah, I'm not sure that if this is in all the different versions, but in the Nusach Sfard version of the Haggadah, one of the important paragraphs at the end, towards the end of the Haggadah, begins with the words Vayhi b'chatzi halayla. It was at midnight, and it lists a whole list of items, significant items in Jewish history, that all just so happened to take place at midnight. For example, everybody, most people, you ask them, when was World War I? And they'll tell you, in the early 1900s. But these people don't really know. They haven't studied their history. If you go back a few thousand years before that, World War I took place during the time of Avraham Avinu. The Torah says that there were 9 kings. Each one of them ruled over large units of people and countries. And these, the 9 kings, each one of them was strong, powerful. But the Torah tells us that as strong as the 5 of them were, the other 4 were even stronger. And they decided to make world war. They decided to have it out. So all of these kings with all of these armies met in a certain place, and they had it out. And the Torah says that the four won. They succeeded in defeating the other five kings completely. And in addition to defeating those five kings, they just so happened to take Avram Avinu's nephew, Lot, as captive also. They also captured him. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain, the Sifrei Chassidus explain, that this world war, this major war with all of these people, what it was really all about was capturing the flag, to capture Lot, from whom was destined to come David HaMelech, from whom is destined to come Moshiach ben David, who comes from Rus HaMoaviah, who we're going to read about on the holiday of Shavuos. We know that Shavuos is the birthday and the yahrzeit of David HaMelech, King David, and we read the Megillas Rus, which describes his lineage, how David HaMelech came into the world, how he came from, he is a descendant of Rus HaMoaviah, who comes from Lot, And that's what this world war was really all about. It was about capturing the nephew of Avram Avinu, whom the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Lot in Aramaic, Latya, means cursed. This Lot was a bad boy. This Lot chose to live in a bad neighborhood. He picked Sodom out of all the places in the world to live. Borough Park, Johannesburg, all the different places you could choose to live. He chose to live in Sodom, among the worst Rishoim in the world, and everything that brought about. And in the end, Lot gets captured, and Avram Avinu hears about it, and Avram Avinu says, no deal. World war, no world war. My nephew is captive. I'm going to rescue him. Four kings, 400 kings, who cares? Hashem's king. There's only one king I know. It's called Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch. And Avram Avinu sets out to rescue Lot. And the Torah says, Vayecholek Aleim Halayla. The night split. Again, midnight. And Avram Avinu goes and rescues Lot. Four kings, no four kings. He saves Lot, saves him. This is one of the events that's defined there that took place at this midnight. And we find a whole list of events. And Rab Nosson Zal in Likutei Halacha speaks about this, that again, most Jews see this and just don't get it. They overlook it. They don't get it that the Torah is making a point that this time, this concept of midnight is a very significant point that's being made, that this is the major salvations of Klal Yisrael and of the world just so happened to take place at midnight. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the first half of the night represents Midas Hadin. It's a time of judgment. It's a time when the Sitrachra, the Klipos, the forces of Tumah, are powerful and prevalent. But as soon as it becomes midnight, there's a major change that takes place in heaven, and it changes from Midas Hadin to Midas Harachmim, from judgment, harshness, negativity, to kindness. And the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about a certain period, the period called Chatzos, which extends from the moment of midnight, from the exact second of midnight, when it begins with a major splash. That's the most important moment. And it continues, that blast of light continues for a period of 2 hours. And the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, all the Sifrei Kabbalah, many of the Sifrei Chassidus, and especially the Sforum of Rabbeinu Zal, Rab Nosson Zal, put a spotlight on this to make us realize and recognize that this is what's called in Judaism prime time. These are the most important hours of the 24-hour period. These 2 hours are a special, special time when the gates of heaven are open more so than any other time during the day, when a person who is zoiche to be awake at that time and to be studying Torah or davening. It's a time that within those 2 hours, 10 minutes of those 2 hours could be worth more than 10 hours of the rest of the day. It's so special, so significant. And the yeshuas that can be achieved at that time are also awesome, incredible. So there's one issue of the timing, and there's another issue which many people always ask about. So is it okay for me to stay up? Because to go to sleep and wake up in the middle of the night, everybody knows that that's much more difficult than if I'm up like the average, normal, Western cultured raised person who stays up till 12 at night, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, usually doing nothing or doing things that are harmful to them, to themselves, their families, and the rest of mankind. Is it okay if I'm up anyway to stay up, to just stay up for chatzos, which is calculated as being 6 hours? There are different opinions on this, but the opinion of the Zohar HaKadosh, the Arizal, and Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, on this is that the way we calculate chatzos is, it is 6 hours from Tseis HaKoychovim, from when 3 medium-sized stars are visible. In Eretz Yisrael, generally, that's referred to as 20 minutes after sunset. Shkia is sunset. 20 minutes after that is considered Tseis HaKoychovim regarding this issue. And 6 hours on the clock, six meaning 360 minutes after that, is the moment of Chatzos, the moment when that bell goes off in Shamayim and an incredible, incredible bright light is turned on, which continues to shine for a 2 hour period. I said 60 minutes on the watch. This is one of the incredible, important issues related to nighttime, darkness. We know that that the concept of a human being in this world is a concept. We deal with two points. There's life and there's death. A person coming into this world, a person being born into this world or created, the person joins the living. And when a person leaves this world, the process by which most people leave this world is death. It's called Misa, death. The Gemara tells us that at night, when a person goes to sleep, sleep is a taste of death. It's 1/60th of death. Because usually when a person goes to sleep, the majority of the brain shuts down. The majority of the soul of the person actually leaves completely. There's only a small aspect of the soul that stays inside until the person gets up the next day. And we know that when we get up in the morning, we make a bracha. After sleep, we make a bracha. Hamachsir neshamois lefigorim mesim. Hashem who returns souls to dead corpses. So we refer to ourselves during the night. When we were asleep, when I'm asleep, I'm a corpse. I'm a dead corpse. So too, the concept of exile, and one of the main reasons for that is, we said, the neshama leaves, the soul leaves when a person goes to sleep. And the soul is also referred to as the moichin, the sechel, the das, the brains of a person. Most people, when they're asleep, the brain shuts down 99%, and this is why it could confuse the person. Sometimes a person is sleeping, they have a dream, which actually takes place over a period of 3 minutes, and during the dream it feels as if they went through 70 years of their life, or 10 years, 20 years, even though in actuality it was only 3 minutes or less, something like that, because of the fact that the person is not playing with a full deck. They're not playing with a full brain. There's only 1% of their brain that's there during the nighttime. So to the concept of dreams, which come from medame. Medame is that part of the brain again, the lowest part of the brain, which is still active during the night when a person is sleeping. So we said that sleep is associated with death, with the soul leaving, with the brain shutting down, which is also the concept of exile. When we talk about a person being imprisoned, the more imprisoned, the more boxed in, the more claustrophobic a person feels, the more they can't think. Rabbi Nizal quotes the pasuk many times, Lochein golo ami mibli das. Therefore, my nation has gone into exile from lack of das, lack of intellect, lack of brains. When a person is in golus, so golus, exile, is also referred to as being in a state of sleep, where the brain isn't functioning the way it should be. Whereas when a person comes out of golus, when a person's released from prison, imprisonment, now they can think, now they can talk, now they can do. This coming out of golus Mitzrayim, which began on the night of Pesach, which is called Leil Shimurim, a protected night. We don't have to lock the doors. In the middle of the Seder, in the middle of the night, we open the doors to show that we're not afraid of the night anymore. That this night, Hashem turned on the lights. Hashem made night into day when there was Makas Bechoros, which was the beginning of the Jewish people marching out of Egypt. In middle of Sfira Soimer, we have Lag Boimer, which is an incredible celebration. Those that are privileged to live in Eretz Yisrael know that this is, in many ways, by far, the greatest event of the year. With all due respect to Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos, all the different holidays, they don't make the same splash. They don't get 500,000 or 700,000 people shaking, moving, traveling a few hundred kilometers, traveling across country to go to a small kfar, a small village, and being up, many people being up all night or most of the night, or at least, or those that go during the day, all, and even those that don't go to Meron at night, are seeing the fires, the maduros, all over the country, all over, lighting up the night with this, the day of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbeinu Zal reveals to us in Likutei Moran, in the beginning of Likutei Moran, that this tzaddik, Rabbi Shimon, who is unique in many ways, one of the unique things about this tzaddik is he don't sleep. Rabbeinu Zal shows us that his name, the name Rabbi Shimon, is associated with a pasuk in Daniel, where the pasuk says, "Ir v'kadish min shemaya nochis," a holy angel came down from heaven. The word "ir" in Aramaic means an angel. The word "ir" in Lashon Kodesh in Hebrew means to be awake. The pasuk says, "Ani yeshena v'libi er," I am asleep, but my heart is awake, alive. And Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this, and Rav Nosson Zal especially expounds on this, that this is one of the unique things about Rabbi Shimon, that when the other rabbis got together, leading rabbis of Klal Yisrael, and they said, Asida Torah shetishtakach mi Yisrael, there's going to come a time when things are going to be so dark, when the night is going to be so thick, when Hashem's light is going to be so hidden, as the Torah says, "Vanoichi hastir astir esponai b'yemahu." Hashem says, "I'm going to be hidden and more hidden on that day." So all the rabbis understood that to mean that the lights are going to be shut. The light is going to be gone. The light being Hashem, the light being Torah, kiner mitzvah v'Torah oir, and therefore they unanimously agreed. Asida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. The Torah is going to be forgotten. The Hebrew word for forgetting is shikha, and the word shikha is the letters hachoshech, darkness. That the darkness is going to be so thick that the people will not see the light. Hashem will not be visible, and the Torah will not be remembered. And this tzaddik stood up, Rabbi Shimon stood up and said, that I say the Torah will never be forgotten. That even in the darkest exile, even shortly before the coming of Moshiach, when the Satan is going to be very powerful and he's going to be able to block out the light of Hashem more so than other generations, Rabbi Shimon said that his zechus, his awakenedness, This Ir V'Kaddish, this holy angel, is going to introduce a light into the world. The Zohar, Zohar means light. Zohar means, is going to introduce a light into the world that's a hidden light. It's Sisrei Torah, secrets of Torah. A person would say, hidden light means so you don't see it. If it's hidden, you don't see it. But this hidden light is so bright, and it's going to be taken out of its hiddenness when needed, when necessary, that this Zohar HaKadosh, which Rabbi Shimon revealed thousands of years ago when he was living, and was put away after this book was written, it was hidden in a cave for hundreds of years until the time came to bring it out into the world, to introduce it to Klal Yisrael, shortly before the time of the Arizal. And then the Arizal took what Rabbi Shimon did, the million watts of light that Rabbi Shimon introduced into the world, and the Arizal took it to the next level, to take it from a million to a billion, to take some of the mysteries, some of the parts of Torah that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said in the Zohar HaKadosh, we can only go so far, we can only reveal up to here. The Arizal said, that's what he said. Now the time has come that I'm permitted to continue where he left off and to reveal even further, to take the light and brighten it, take it to a higher level. And then after the Arizal came the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, who took it to another level, who took these Sifrei Kabbalah, which were accessible to one in 10,000 Jews who were on a level to be able to understand it and to be able to relate to it. And the Baal Shem Tov took it and was able to bring it down thousands of levels to be able to introduce it to his Talmidim in a way where they, the Gedolei HaChassidus, were able to take the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Bnei Yisachar, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, all the leaders of the Olam HaChassidus, and take those teachings of Kabbalah and bring it down to be able to present it to Klal Yisrael in a way where Jews would know how to be able to apply this in their service of Hashem, in their daily service of Hashem. And the one who took this to the most incredible level was Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, who together with his Talmud, Rabbi Nosson Zal, took the light of the Zohar HaKadosh, Tikkun HaZohar, the writings of the Arizal, and Rabbeinu Zal actually said he needed a student who would have the ability to take the writings of the Arizal and to be able to make it understandable by children, for children to be able to understand it and be able to relate to it, which is what he was zeicha to achieve in his sforim, in the Likutei Alochos, in the Likutei Tfilos, in the sforim that they presented. They were able to take the night, the darkness, the golus, and turn on the lights, make it lit up. The Arizal makes a statement. The Arizal mentions that Rosh Hashanah, we know that in many ways, the holiday of Rosh Hashanah is considered to be the most important day of the year. It's the day when all of mankind comes before Hashem for judgment. It's the day when Hashem determines the future of the entire year, the parnasa of the year is dictated to on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is very meaningful, very important. And the Yerushalmi, the Gemara in the Talmud Yerushalmi says that because this day is so important, any Jew who sleeps on Rosh Hashanah during the daytime hours, their mazal, their fortune, will go to sleep for the entire year, chas v'shalom. And in fact, the Arizal says this is what's included in the word. The word Rosh Hashanah means beginning of the year. The word Shana means sleep. And the word Shana is also Miloshin Shana. I'm sorry, the word Shana means year. And the word Shana also means to sleep. The Arizal says that the Yetzer Hara, every single year on Rosh Hashanah, introduces a new package of treats to put people asleep for another year, to try to get people to forget about Hashem, to become distracted with all the new toys that the Yetzer Hara introduces for the new year, to distract people from their real mission, their real purpose of life, what they're really supposed to be doing for the year. And it's based on this that Yerushalmi says, if that's the program, if that's what the Yetzer Hara is going to try to do, you better make sure to wake up on Rosh Hashanah, to be up. And this is why the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of Rosh Hashanah is the shofar, the alarm clock, the blasting of the shofar, the message of the shofar. The Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes, what is the shofar telling Klal Yisrael? Uru yeshenim mishnaschem, you who are asleep, wake up from your sleep. V'nirdomim itirdamaschem, and you who are in a deep sleep, get up, get out of that sleep, wake up. That's what the shofar, that's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, that's the message of Rosh Hashanah. And so too, we know that on Rosh Hashanah, in the Shmon Esrei of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, one of the outstanding paragraphs there is, Ata Nigleso Ba'anan Kvoidecho Al Har Sinai. We relate the whole story of Shavuos, of Matan Torah, appears in the Shmon Esrei, the Musaf Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. We say, Hashem, you revealed yourself on Mount Sinai with your glorious, in your glorious cloud, and you gave us the Torah. All of that appears in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. What happened? We forgot which holiday we're in? The answer is no. That Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, and Shavuos is also a Rosh Hashanah. Shavuos is also a new beginning. Just like Rosh Hashanah is when Adam HaRishon was born, was created. We know that the world was created on Chaf Hei Elul, on a Sunday, a Yom Rishon. And on Yom Shishi is when Adam HaRishon was created. That was when the world was completed. He was the final creation of Hashem. Hashem created everything else first, and then Adam HaRishon. And the Gemara mentions two reasons for that. One reason was that if any human being ever decides to be arrogant, to feel important, big, we tell him, you're the last thing that Hashem created. You're the last thing on the totem pole. Everything else comes first. Everything else came before you. That's one of the messages in the fact that Adam was created last on that sixth day. And the second message is to let us know that every single thing in creation, every stone, every bird, every animal, every plant was created only for us, only for Adam HaRishon, for the benefit of man. Everything is here to help us come close to Hashem, to look for the seichel in every single thing in creation and be able to use that. Therefore, Hashem prepared everything. Hashem, when he brought Adam HaRishon into the world, said, here you go. You have everything you need to come close to me, to connect with Hashem. That was on the sixth day of creation. That's big. That's completion. That's the completion of creation, but it's not complete yet. The final complete. It doesn't say Yom Shi. It says Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Chamishi. Then it says Yom Hashishi, Vayechulu Hashmayim Voretz. And the Gemara says this is to tell us that with all due respect to mankind, with all due respect to Adam, HaRishon, and to every one of us, our being created was not the completion of the world. The world was unsteady. It was on shaky ground until Yom HaShishi, until the sixth day of Sivan, the holiday of Shavuos. That's when the world was completed. Vayechulu Hashmayim Voretz, with the introduction of the Torah into the world, when the Torah was officially given to Klal Yisrael and Har Sinai, then Vayechulu then heaven and earth was complete. Then the creation was complete. And therefore, just like on Rosh Hashanah, there is the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is wake up. The wake-up call, the blasting of the shofar, and the warning of the Gemara, don't sleep. Whatever you do, don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Make sure you're awake, referring to the daylight hours. Those who are zoiche to get up at midnight, those who daven neitz, v'sikin, for them it's possible that if they take a nap, a short nap, just to be able to get strength, to be able to go further, because they were up during the night, because they were up for chatzoyis v'sikin, their nap during the day does not cause their mazel to sleep. But so too on the night of Shavuos, the real completion of creation, we're given the privilege, this zechus, of staying awake the entire night. We stay up here, we turn the night into day. And we try to fill the night with Torah. The custom, there is a custom that stems from the time of the Shiloh HaKadosh, the Beis Yosef, going back to the time of the Beis Yosef, of the Tikkun Leil Shavuos, which some people occupy themselves with during the night of Shavuos, where we recite the beginning and the end of every single parsha in the Torah. Go through each parsha, Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, in the written Torah, and the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ksuvim, and then we go into the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the Gemara. We go through every one of the 60 Mishnayos, and we do the beginning and the end of each and every one of them. A person would say, what kind of beginning and end? That's a joke. That's for girls. That's nonsense. The Shiloh HaKodesh, who was pretty serious about his Gemara, about his Halacha, about his Kabbalah, the Shiloh HaKodesh presented this, and many tzaddikim and rabbonim followed this custom. The beginning and the end implies the concept of going up and coming back down. We know Moshe Rabbeinu, it says he went up to Har Sinai and he came back down. The Pasuk says, Novi v'hachayos, the angels, rotzoi v'shoiv, that the relationship with Hashem, there is nobody who is able to go up or who's supposed to go up without coming back down. The concept of reading the beginning of each parsha is a concept of aliyah, moving forward. The concept of closing each parsha, reading a little bit from the end, the siyum, is a concept of coming back down. We show that we want, that even if we're not privileged to be able to complete every parsha, every mesechta, we want to connect with Hashem, we want to come close to Hashem, and we know that the connection to Hashem is this Aliyah and Yerida. It involves going up and coming back down. This is the avoid of Shavuos. This is the avoid of Lag Boimer. This is Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is Avram Avinu. It starts from the Vayihi Bachatzi Halayla, and the one night of the year, one night of the year, where we're given this privilege that even the first half of the night, which represents Midas Hadin usually. It's a time of judgment. It's a time of the Sitrachra, the Klipos. We're told that the night of Shavuos is different. The night of Shavuos is a night of awesome chesed, awesome kindness of Hashem, and a Jew who is privileged to be up, to avoid sleeping during that night, and to daven Shachris Neitz, at the time to say the Shmoneh Esrei at the time of sunrise, which is when the Red Sea split. Vayhi b'shmoiras haboiker is zoicha to make a connection to Hashem and to holiness and to the Torah that can only be achieved on that night. There's a famous statement in the Gemara, and we'll close with this, where the Gemara says, habola hargecha, if someone's coming to kill you, hashkein v'horgoi, get up, wake up, and kill him. It says, somebody who's coming to kill you, it doesn't say, amoid v'horgoi, stand up. It says, hashkein. Lahashkein means to wake up early. Hashkama, the hashkama minyan, is the early minyan. And the Meforshim tell us, habo lahargecha, who's coming to kill each and every one of us? The Yetzirah, our evil inclination. Because the Gemara says, Ein Misa b'loyovayin. There's no such thing as death without sin. Ein Yisurim b'loychet. There's no such thing as suffering without sin. Habola hargecha, if you realize that there's a Yetzirah who wants to kill you, if you want to win, hashkem, get up early. And each person has to search within themselves, to search within their mashpiyim, within the Torah they're learning, what getting up early means for me. For those who are in a position to, getting up early means getting up at midnight. And in order to do that, it means going to sleep a couple hours before midnight. A person has to make sure to sleep at least several hours in order to be able to survive it and in order to be able to do it properly. That's the ultimate. If a person can't do that every night, a person could do it once a week. person could do it once a month. It's a major, major accomplishment. And for those that can't do that, every hour earlier, if a person is zoche to get up before it comes light outside, that's a major privilege. If a person is zoche to daven in the 7 o'clock minyan instead of the 8 o'clock minyan, this is also a major accomplishment. Hashem should help us be zoche to draw the message of Shavuos.